is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fuseni Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, glad to have you on board. Wish we were talking about a win today as we break down the loss against Texas Tech last weekend. But nonetheless, we bring this show to you every single Monday night, taking your calls 801-575-8255 to get your thoughts on the game. Why do you think BYU has struggled in the second half of a lot of these Big 12 games? We'll be taking those calls, getting your thoughts, Cougar Nation, like we do every single Monday night. Matt Biamonte here. Mitch Harper, he's off tonight. He's at Disneyland, a little family vacation. So it's going to be myself and producer Nate Slack. Nate, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. It's a Monday, but I'm hanging in there, and it's going to be a fun show.
It's going to be a lot of fun today as we break down this game. Before we get into the takeaways, Nate, just quick thoughts on that loss against Texas Tech.
It hurt. I mean, talking to other people on Twitter during the game, talking about how the first half of that game felt like it's the best half that BYU's played in a long time. I think back to the 2021 WCC championship against Gonzaga. But other than that, I mean, it's been years since I feel like BYU had that strong of a half. And then to come out in the second half and then have everything fall apart, it was rough. It was a rough way to lose a game.
Painful. 16-point halftime lead evaporates in the blink of an eye. Let's get to our takeaways here on Cougar Nation.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
We'll get to your calls in just a moment, 801-575-8255. But first, the number one takeaway for me, Nate, the margin for error is so slim in the Big 12. These are extremely talented teams that can flip the switch in a moment's notice, like we saw Saturday night down in Lubbock. That 16-point halftime lead, it felt like it was slashed in half within 2 minutes. And with like 17 minutes to go, you felt like, oh boy, the lead is gone. The momentum's in favor of the Red Raiders. And you just can't have those type of scoring droughts, those type of sequences where you have multiple turnovers that lead to threes and get teams to the foul line. You can't have a 4 or 5 minute lapse because these teams are so good, they'll take advantage. And that's what happened right out of the gate. Is Texas Tech had the urgency right after the halftime break, and they dialed up the pressure on Dallin Hall, on Richie Saunders, on the guards. They were forcing turnovers, and before you knew it, the lead was gone, and it was a battle to the end. So, man, the margin for error is thin. You have to play consistent basketball for 40 minutes like BYU did against Iowa State earlier in the week. You do that, I think this BYU team has proven they can beat maybe anybody in the Big 12. But if you take your foot off the gas for a minute, you can find yourselves in a real bad spot like they did. Takeaway number two. On a positive note, Richie Saunders is playing some of the best basketball of his life. And he's making an argument for increased playing time. He got the start in place of Noah Waterman, who, if you remember, against Iowa State, he left the game with a concussion. It was a scary play where his head hits the back of the floor. He goes to the locker room before halftime, gets evaluated, comes back out, plays the second half. And I think we're all thinking, okay, a crisis averted here. Noah Waterman's good to go. He's been a great defender this year for BYU. When he's making three-point shots, he's a difference maker. And did we mention he's 6'10"? So it's nice to have that kind of size along with Ali Khalifa in the starting lineup. And then we hear right before tip-off, Noah Waterman did not clear concussion protocol, and they're going to start Richie Saunders. And you're thinking, okay, it's only his third start of his career, first of the season. What are you going to get from Richie? He just continued playing great basketball like he's been playing all throughout conference play. 16 points, and he is so good at cutting to the basket. He's almost like a perfect fit with Al Khalifa. He's always cutting, getting to the rim. I love that 4 of his 6 made field goals were inside the three-point line. Then he goes 2 of 2 from the three-point line, adds a couple rebounds as well. Good, tenacious defender. Richie Saunders he's ready for more playing time. When everyone's healthy, I don't know how you juggle it all, but clearly Richie Saunders has been one of the most consistent players on this team. And then takeaway number three, second half turnovers in these losses are proving to be deadly, just absolutely deadly. 22-4 advantage for Texas Tech in the second half, excuse me, for the game. So you're minus 18 in turnovers. I know you only committed 12, eight of those coming in the second half, though, where it just kept igniting the crowd. It kept fueling transition opportunities for Pop Isaacs, who scored 32 points, 23 of them in the second half. It felt like a lot of those back-breaking buckets from Texas Tech, it came off of a BYU turnover. And especially late in the game, there was one play where Dallin Hall drove to the basket, and he's done this a few times late in these games where it doesn't look like he's wanting to go up to the rim and finish it. And so he drives in, and then the defense collapses on him. It turns into a turnover. They go the other way, bury a three, and you're like, ah, that was a five-point swing if you just go and attack the basket with the intent to score. So these turnovers are killing us. Let's get to our first call here on Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255. Let's go to our dear friend, Linda. Linda, what do you got tonight?
I think they really clam up when they're been losing, you know, on the road like that. I think it really makes them clam up. And I really felt like that first half on Saturday was really good. You know, it was really good, and we played so well. And then the second half, as we were playing and we tried to make shots, we couldn't do it.
Yep. You're right, Linda. And that's honestly, and it's kind of hard to tell yourself this because you want to have different answers, but basketball, it is so often a make or miss league. And in the first half, you go 10 to 20 from three, 50% from three, double digit threes and a half. Of course you're going to be up double digits. And in the second half, you go 3 of 19, 15% from downtown. It's going to be hard to sustain any success when you're shooting that poorly throughout an extended stretch of time. And they've got to find a way to get to the free throw line or do something when they're not hitting the three like they did in the second half. Let's get to another call here. Ryan from Tooele talking about that second half where everything went wrong for BYU. What do you have for us, Ryan?
Well, in the first half, they're doing really well and shooting really well. But then in the second half, we're up by a lot, and we're just playing not to lose. They're playing to win, and they really have the fire in them that they need the comeback, and they want, and they're scoring lots of points because they have the fire to win while we're just trying to, like, not let them score. We're just playing not to lose.
Yeah, it did feel that way a little bit, Ryan, in the second half, where it just felt like, okay, we've got a lead. Let's try and protect it. But the problem is, if you're not being aggressive, it's advantageous for the defense. BYU only had two fast break points in that entire game against Texas Tech, where Iowa State, they were getting up and down throughout. And so I think that's a really good point that when BYU tries to sit back and they allow the pressure to come all the way up to half court, and then they're not attacking the rim. I think that's another thing I noticed in the second half is it just felt like all five Texas Tech defenders were on the perimeter, daring BYU to put the ball on the floor and get to the rim and do something, and they could not punish them enough at the rim. And that's in the wins. Like, I love looking at the Iowa State win earlier in the week compared to the Texas Tech game, because in the Iowa State game, they played their best basketball of the year throughout an entire game, and the common threads were getting to the free throw line, attacking the basket. Look, we know that this team loves to shoot threes. Coach Pope has said it all season long. We want to take a lot of threes. We're upset if we don't take 30 threes. We want to shoot the three. But you have to complement that with putting pressure on the rim. And when this team can put pressure on the rim, it opens up the three-point line. And that's the thing, is they have to continue to put pressure on the three-point line and also getting to the basket. When they do those two things together, then you see a result like you did against Iowa State. When you don't, when you can't get to the rim, when you can't get to the free throw line, it makes it a lot more difficult to sustain it for 40 minutes because, look, you're going to have moments where you shoot 50% from three and you look great, but can it be sustained? And the answer against Texas Tech was it could not be sustained. We got to take our first break here in Cougar Nation. Love the calls. We'll take some more on the other side. 801-575-8255. Why does BYU struggle in the second half in Big 12 conference play? That's what we want to hear from you. We'll see you on the other side. Stay with us.